Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to the Gospel of John. It's going to be an easy one to find. It's because it's the first chapter of John. John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at to the end of that same chapter. Have you ever noticed how Jesus, when he came, only picked the things that were not high philosophical, high social, all those high things? He brought everything right down to the most common denominator. He used common things to get people's attention. He related it to the wind. He related it to water. He related all these things to things that people knew about. And that's how he preached. That's how he did. He made it a commonplace so people could understand. You know, it is also amazing to me how he has chosen humans, weak people, earthen vessels, as the Bible likes to call them. And then he pours the most immaculate treasure into those people. Have you received that? The treasure that God poured, he poured it in just into people. And people that had feet of clay. People that failed all the time. Didn't do what they, you know, always want to do this. Then he called a bunch of obscure fishermen. I mean, of all people, no education, none of those kind of things. But they became his ambassadors of his grace. They spoke things that you would never think. They were the uncultured people. But when God got a hold of them, the culture went out the window, but grace flooded back in. And they spoke and they preached. They were filled with, I hate to call it arguments, but it's kind of what it is, something that could not be gainsaid nor resisted. They said, "We don't really care what you think. This is what God said. And this is what we're doing. I'm following after those things." He took common meals. You know, we always want to make a big, a lot of churches do, you know, and we do too at times, but they want to make a big deal, like take all these sacraments and do all these kind of things and make some. You know, Jesus just took bread. I mean, it's just a common meal. He took the bread. He took the wine. He made the bread and compared it to heaven. I mean, there's just things that, the blessings were flowing, but he only used the common things. He would take everyday work and make it so wonderful and shine so brightly that you wanted to go to work. And then thank God for the privilege of getting to work. Got my work boots on today. Wasn't going to stomp around in the water up here from the leak. Oh, and I will say this right now. Gentlemen, thank you all and lady that came last night and helped us get this water up. I mean, it was a blessing for people to show up. And we even had a construction company that they do not go here. They brought in two units and came and checked it out and took pictures. And it helped us up here till about 11:30 that night, last night, getting all this cleaned up. Because this whole side over here was standing in water about that deep. But that's what happens at times. So you just kind of got to go on. But we were blessed. We are blessed by people that were willing to come out and do that kind of stuff, and I thank you all. You know who you are. God takes the most common things in life because that's where we live, and he applies it to our hearts. How many times have you cried out to God over a disappointment? Why would you call on God? Because you know that God is right here. And every time he takes our disappointments, he fills that once back with his treasure. He pours back into us an unspeakable consolation that makes all the difference in the world. Anytime that you feel sad, just go to the Psalms and read. Anytime you feel downhearted, just pick it up. You're going to find hope. You're going to find endurance in those things. He used stammering preachers to let the word go out, to let the gospel be preached, to tell the whole world of his mercy and his love for us. I mean, are we qualified? Probably not, but that's what God called. But it changed the souls of men. And that leads me to the one short little passage in 1 John. It's at verse number 48, and it's a simple statement. It's a statement that Jesus made to Nathaniel, excuse me. Because Nathaniel, for you that might follow it, if you followed it in Matthew's gospel, it'd be the same as Bartholomew. They got all these names. You know, they like to mix them up, you know. One calls them this and the other calls them that. But Bartholomew and Nathanael were the same person, as most people would. People that studied the word has come up with that. Because you're going to find him. You won't find the name Nathanael in Matthew's gospel, but you'll find it in all the rest of them. But you'll find Bartholomew, and you won't find that in John's gospel. It's an amazing thing. But that's just a side note for you scholars. Okay, shave your heads. But in verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? He saith, Jesus, when did you ever meet me? When did you ever know me? How do you know this about me? And you know how this all began. Philip had brought him, and brought him to Jesus, said, one to point him out. You need to come meet this man. They said, well, could anything ever come out of Nazareth that's any good? But he gets down to the end of the 48th verse. He says, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Before Philip even said anything to you about coming to meet me, I already knew you. I saw you. I knew you. You know, it's one thing for us to say, I saw somebody. When God says, I saw you, it's totally different. When Jesus says, I saw you, there's a whole lot more to that than anything else. You know, making that particular statement, Nathanael asked the question, and it says, thou wast under the fig tree, and I saw you. Is that significant? Sure was to him. It was so much to him, it was so much to Nathanael, that immediately he comes back and says, thou art the Son of God. That's how important it was to that. If God speaks to you at any time, is it important? Would it move you? You know, many people have said to me, well, God doesn't do that. Well, he's done it for me. Is it something that happens all the time? No way. No way. It doesn't happen all the time. But it does happen. And if God were to speak a word to you, would it not change something? Now, for all of you that just love to do this, don't have my phone. God sent me a text message. Oh, boy. Does it have the same impact? Would that have the same impact? God sent me a text. No. But when God spoke it, when God said, I knew you, he wasn't talking about a text message. He didn't get on your Twitter account. He didn't do any of those things. When a revelation comes, you know, it can be some little word, but if God spoke it, it's incredible. It may mean nothing to you. Somebody around you doesn't think there's anything to that, but he said it to you and it means everything. It means so much more because there was something special in the way that Jesus said it. I saw you. It implied so much more because it came from a heart of compassion. You know, when you've talked to some people, they can make a statement, somebody else make the same statement, that doesn't mean anything over here, but this means everything. You know, it does. It means so much more. And when he said, I saw you under the fig tree, he was talking to him about the personal experience that Nathanael was going through. For all of his life, he had looked. He was devout. He sought for the Messiah. He was looking for the Messiah. You know, he wanted. And so where did he go? Where do you go? Where do you go when you really, really want to be alone and you just want to meditate on something? Now, for me, I get on the mower. You can't get me. Praise God. I don't take my phone. I'm not talking to you. You know, now you'll be like somebody that came up here and I'm out here mowing and they drive right out in the middle of the field. Yeah, that didn't work very well. No. I told them to get their blasted car out of the middle of my mowing. But I mean, if you want me, I'm on my track. I'm on the mower. I'm not going to answer you. I have solitude. I have a place I can get away. I'm out there singing. I don't care if the neighbors don't like it. That's good. I'll get over it. I can pray. I can spend time thinking about the word. I can do that. You may have a prayer closet. You may have a workshop. You may have a sewing room. You may have some place that you can get away from everybody. And I know there's a lot of parents here today praising God that there was a place they could escape. That's why men go to work all the time. That's why we do it. But he said, under the fig tree, I saw you. In that place that you were trying to get away in solitude. You went out in the garden. When I was in Israel a couple years ago, I went to the garden. And that was set up on the hill that Jesus was when they came to get him at Gethsemane. And they were looking into that place. And they were going up there to find. He was in under those fig trees in the most beautiful parts in a place of solitude. And they went to find him. And it's a wondrous place of solitude. It's a place to reflect on life. It's a place that we can get alone with God and get all of our thoughts together. When Jesus said, I saw you, he said, I saw your hurts. I saw the things that were bothering you. I saw the deepness, how sensitive you were towards finding me. I understood you. I think that's the way it could be translated. I understood you when you're out underneath that fig tree. Isn't it something when people have an insight to you that nobody else has, but they understand you? They don't take harsh words. They don't take quick answers. They don't. That doesn't mean anything. All that they want you to know is that I understand you. You know, when they saw Nathanael, some of them thought he was just one of those Jews that were just moody. But in reality, he was just very thoughtful. He wanted to go find God and think about it. Some of them looked at him and said, well, he's just a dreamer because he's out there in la-la land all the time. No, he was under the fig tree. He was very prayerful. He was seeking God's face. Some would say that Nathanael was one of those, by the statement that he made, could anything good come out of Nazareth? That he was proud. It was anything but that. It was anything but that right there. He was so burdened with sorrow that he had not found the Messiah. That's who he was, and that's who Jesus saw. Nobody else saw that. Nobody else recognized that around it. It took a quiet garden under the fig tree for him to pour out his heart to God. I don't know where. Do you have a place like that? A place that you can get when you're really, really hurting, that you can get out and you can pour your life out. You know, we talk about sight, that we see something. When God says, I see you, it's an insight. It's something far more than just I see you. It means I see all of you, completely through you. Into the deepest recesses of your heart, I see you. I know you from all those things. Nathanael was one of those Jews that said, I'm tired of the regulations. I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired of following the old law and going through this and this and this. I'm trying to live every one of the things. I can't do it. I'm failing at these things. I don't want to fail God, but it's the forms and the rituals and all the things that I continue to go. They don't bring me anything. When will we be relieved by the Savior? When will we find the one that we really... When can I fill the hunger that I have with an intimacy with God? That's what I'm looking for. He expected, he was anticipating the day that Jesus would talk, knowing that he would be the Son of God, and he would speak to his heart personally. Has God ever done that? Has he ever done that in your life? You ever come to a place that, you know, you just sat there and I need an answer, but it doesn't come. Yeah, I'm not a very patient person. Where's Margaret? I figure we hear a bit. Hey, now you people don't know me. Don't be amen and know none of that nonsense now. He knew as a Jew that there was a promise of a deliverer. He knew that. They've been hearing it for thousands of years and it had been prophesied it was going to happen. And he had grown to the point of just such despondency and disappointment because it wasn't happening. He felt hopeless. This is the kind of person. I think we've been there before. I think we've seen situations like that. The reason I don't like to wait, I never like to wait. You know, one of the hardest places to wait when you're just sitting there, how about a doctor's office? I said, the dude better get done with the 9 holes of golf he's playing and get himself back in here. I don't get 2 hours for lunch. Why does he? Oh, he's in surgery. I've heard that so many times. He's in surgery. That moron was playing the back 9. I know what he was doing. But Nathaniel was looking for something. You know, I always say that work's a whole lot easier than going looking for work. Have you ever been there? If you own your own business, you know what I'm talking about. Going to look for it is hard. When you're there, you just get in there and you go and you get it all done. It's been hard on me at times to sit in a doctor's office with one of our sick kids. It's hard. No two ways about it. Sit in the hospital room while they're suffering. And you're saying all the time, I wish it was me. Go to the emergency room with one. And there's nothing you can do. You see, that kind of waiting is very, very different. He was waiting for the great physician to show up. That's what he was waiting for. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. That's the kind of person Nathaniel was. He was wanting and waiting for this. He was burdened down in his worship. He was not seeing what he wanted to see. He was about at the point of giving up. I mean, none of us have ever wanted to give up on our faith, have we? You super saints out there, you glowing halos around your head with little horns that hold them up like that? Yeah, okay. But that's who this man was. He had waited and waited and waited. And finally, instead of embarrassing himself in the sense of throwing his hands up, he just slips away to a garden and he continues his prayer. He continues to seek God. Even in a despondent way, he still wanted to find it. And then all of a sudden, someone comes up, and his name is Jesus. He said, before Philip ever brought you, I knew you. I saw you out there underneath that fig tree. I saw you. I looked into your heart. I saw something that no one else would see, but I would see. I saw you needed me. It was instant. Nathaniel said, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God. You are the one. You know, we see, but can you perceive what you see? Recently, I heard somebody say, well, they can't be saved. Don't ever say that to me, please. I'm warning y'all. Don't say it to me. Who put you as a judge? Well, I couldn't do that. Well, then don't do it. It's a simple thing. But don't sit on God's throne and tell you that this one couldn't be saved, that one couldn't be saved. They can look at Nathaniel and say, oh, well, he's just a doubter. But they didn't perceive what's in his heart. They don't perceive what's in most of our hearts. We know, God knows, and that's all that counts. And all that counts is that God knows. Because all of us see something, but we're not called on to judge what we see. We're called on to lay that on God and let God be the one that really perceives what's going on. And then by his grace, he might show us. Jesus said, I knew you, Nathaniel. I knew you a long time ago. I know your fears. I know your desires. I know your longings. I know everything about you. I can lay it all out for you right there because Jesus sees so much more than you and I see. His spiritual eyes. He prays for us that our spiritual eyes will be opened, that we might be able to see the things that he sees. But sometimes we're just overrun with perceptions. We characterize people. I remember reading one of Max Lucado's stories about being in New York. First one of the times he went to New York, and they were standing in a line, and this family come in, and of course they were dressed in a way that was not something that, they said the son had this part of his head shaved, this part was straight up in the air and it went out like, and the other one had big earrings and the other one had this, and and mom was dressed like a teenager and all, so they got to be a bunch of heathen. You know, this whole thing. And but they're standing in line waiting to go. I think it was the Empire State Building. But he says to them, where are you all from? You know, we can tell by the way you talk, you're not from New York. No kidding. But he said, we're from Texas. And so they began to introduce us. He said, I'm Max Lucado and blah, blah, blah. You're Max Lucado? We read you every Sunday. We study your words. Man, that inspires us in church. And our church follows after the things that you... He said he felt about that big. Because he judged by what he looked at. But he didn't perceive what was in their hearts. That's the blessing of who Jesus is. You don't answer to me. I'm not going to be sitting on anybody's throne. You don't need to impress me. You're not going to disappoint me. Even if you did, it does not matter. What does God think? How does God see it? Well, I can't do that. The preacher's around. Yeah, okay. Jesus said, I know you. There's nothing hidden from me. And I love you. And I think that's the message of all this. God's discerning spirit knows our hearts. The world may judge us one way. They may look at anything, you know, but God knows us. And it doesn't take a tragedy. God knows us all the time. You ever been in a place in your life that you felt like your spiritual walk was so small that you just, I don't even know if I'm saved? You ever said that? I mean, surely, if you, okay, you know, all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Because all of us have done this at times. You know, your spiritual walk, the flame is so, it's so little flickering of flame, it wouldn't even light a candle. But God saw and has done something in your life that may be at a low ebb right now, but his very words, it can be a burning bush. It can be ignited once again. It can be given because he put it there. Now, we sometimes dampen that thing, but he put it there and it's not going out. It may not illuminate, you know, it may not be big enough to illuminate your soul, but God's doing something in your life right there that began and soon would be that burning bush. And it was for Nathaniel. It was that immediately. Despondency went to thunderous applause and simply said, thou art the Son of God. Look at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Jesus goes down and said, I need a drink of water. You know, and then he begins to give her living water. And she became the first evangelist right there. Man, she went out on the road. She was going to get herself a bus. Never mind, that went over your tune. Okay. What was she really wanting? She wasn't wanting a drink of water. And he wasn't really wanting a drink. Oh, yeah, he would take a drink of water for the thirst that he had physically. But he was wanting to give her something. She had sought for happiness in men. How many times have I told you this, ladies? All you single ladies, listen to me. Y'all back here talking in the back row. Ooh, I'm going to come back and preach in the back here in a minute. Men are not your answer. Men are stupid. That's the most amens. That's the most amens I've gotten in a long time. Men do not understand all the time. But that doesn't mean they're not necessary. This woman at the well, what was she looking for? She was looking for something to satisfy her soul. That's what she's looking for. She'd had all those men. None of them did anything for her. She looked for happiness. She couldn't find it. All she found was disappointment. Until Jesus spoke about her life. And she realized immediately, this is nobody, just an any old body. This is a prophet. This is someone. What he said brought light to her heart and changed her forever. Zacchaeus, same kind of deal. You know, my favorite little guy that I always say was a sorry individual, Zacchaeus. He was that guy, the thief. Zacchaeus had seen Jesus, I'm sure, many times. I'm sure Jesus had saw Zacchaeus walking around. He was notarized. I mean, he just did these things. He ripped off everybody. But when Jesus said, I want to go to your house and have lunch, it changed everything. You don't read about some great account where he got down on his knees and the light shone from heaven and then instantly he was saved and the angels sang and all that. No, it doesn't talk about that. It did talk about the reality of that salvation came when he said, I'm willing to give all of this back. I'm willing to pay it all back and more. You see, when God sees us, like he saw in a Samaritan woman at a well, or Zacchaeus with a dark cloud over his head. You know, I can only think how many times he went home at night and he could barely carry all the money he probably had in his bag. But he had nothing in his heart. And then Jesus came and he spoke to him and said, I understand you. Does he understand you today? I think the word is true when it says, I understand your uprisings and you're downtrodden. I understand you when everything's, you're high on the mountaintop and when you're down in the deepest part of the valley. I understand you. I understand, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my master's there and he understands me. He's going to carry me. He's going to do this for me. That's what God does. And that's who Jesus is. And that's why he's wondrous Savior. That's why he is a great friend. The prodigal, the father saw him a long ways off and ran to him, to meet him. You see, over and over and through all of the, everywhere in this word right here, God sees us and he saw us from a great distance. He saw us long before we recognized him and he said, come unto me. He's a sovereign God. Come unto me. I have the answer you're looking for. I can meet the need. I don't need you to do backflips. I don't need you to run the aisle. I don't need you to do any of those things. All I need you to say is, come to me. And you respond. And he will come to you. It changed Nathaniel forever. As it has changed any one of us that have met Jesus Christ. And it'll change you forever. Will you be perfect? No. The longing in your heart can be, the desire to do right should always be there. That's a signal of grace. That's a signal of salvation. That's a signal of God's Spirit working in you. However, even if you do it imperfectly, it's not going to change God's love for you. It's just not. He will meet you and love you and care for you. He will do all of those things just like he did for Nathaniel. Even before he thought he knew him, God knew him. Before the foundation of the world, God knows every one of us. He knows what's going to happen in our lives, the hurts, the heartaches, the triumphs, the fun times, the smiling times, the rejoicing times. He knows all of those things because they're important to him. He made us. It's important. But I want you to understand that even if you're out there in your quiet garden, even if you're under the fig tree today, even if life is tough and you don't think anybody understands you, Jesus does. He understands you. He'll take your hurts. Well, I can't, what am I going to do about this? You're just going to let God be God. And you're going to trust him that he will do what he said he would do. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to love you through all of the junk. And we have lots of that. I'm going to love you and continue to love you. Even when you fall on your face, I'm going to be right there to pick you up. And I'm going to be right there to say, I forgive. But that's who Jesus is. Nathanael found it out. Philip already knew it. He just wanted them to meet somebody coming from Nazareth. That was somebody great. And he met Jesus. I hope today that that is the testimony of all of our hearts. I know many of you. I know you well. I know you walked through hard times. Hadn't always been easy. There's been high times in life and there's been a lot of low times. There's been tough times. As well as there's been great times. Celebration times. Now, Wednesday, at this service at 10 o'clock for Wade, it's going to be a celebration time. It's not going to be a sad time. Oh, we lost him. Yeah, we lost him for a moment, but he's already been found. And one day we'll renew that acquaintance in heaven. Is it a big loss? It is to me. A real big loss to me. But I can tell you this. I would not think about ever wanting him to come back here. He is rejoicing with Jesus and with Regina. He is so content. And I'll never have to hear him say again, "Well, I woke up and I thought I went the wrong way." Okay, buddy, love you too. But I know this, it's going to be an exciting time to praise God. I'm praising him because he was a man of God. No two ways about it. Was he perfect? No. But he had a heart for everybody. You see, that's how God knows us. Is it that way to you today? It may be a hard time right now. You may be walking in it. But never, never ever doubt that God's not right there. Never doubt that Jesus isn't right there. And promises are always going to be true. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love you. Don't wait till it gets critical and hard. Rejoice in the good times even more. And you'll be surprised that when those hard times come, it won't be near as hard. You'll know what it is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for the testimony of Nathanael. How that you opened his eyes. And he saw the Son of God. He saw the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. He saw all of those things take place in the very person of Jesus. One that said that he already knew you a long time ago. I thank you that Jesus knew us. And by your Spirit, you called us. You brought us to you. And you changed our lives. Lord, help us to be reminded of that every day. Help us to walk in the victory and the joy of the very fact that we're blessed because you love us. And Lord, whatever we're facing today, whatever's going on in our lives or in the lives of our families or the hurts that we're experiencing or the hard times, Lord, help us to be reminded of what you have prepared for us that love you. Beyond our imagination, even my vivid imagination, way beyond it, because you love us. Bless the time that we've had this morning. Thank you for your word. Walk in us this week. Make yourself real to us in the commonplace things of this life. And I'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.